In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. I have been reflecting this week on why I haven't ever appreciated the word disciple to describe post-biblical followers of Jesus. It conjures up images of male students at the feet of Greek philosophers, of places like Jonestown and people called Moonies. I associate it with words like regimented, unhealthy, controlling, stunting. On further reflection, I discovered that my family of origin did not use the term disciple to describe being a Christian. It was left out in favor of images of Jesus as the good shepherd, as your best friend, and as the patient judge of all of your actions. Those images can be expected when we follow Jesus, and they are very nice, but they lack the depth that this gospel today is inviting us to wade into. They lack the cross, and they lack the human condition. The gospel today is the beginning of a whole section in Mark on discipleship, of being the students or apprentices of Jesus and what that entails. Right off the bat, we learn from the teacher that it has a lot to do with suffering. No matter how appalled the disciples are at the absurd idea that Jesus will undergo great suffering, the teacher will not back down. Yet, at the same time, Jesus does not ever glorify suffering of any kind. We don't hear any instruction that we must become like the criminal who hangs next to Jesus on a cross, asking to be remembered in the kingdom. Jesus is speaking a basic truth about life itself. He will not allow for the idea that life is to be lived one-sided and pain-free. We hear it clearly in Buddhism, too. It is said that life is suffering. In fact, I have never met a person who has never suffered in some way. True, some more than others, for sure. But consider even the fact that being born involves levels of pain and a whole lot of disruption. Why we suffer and relief from suffering is of great importance to Jesus. In this gospel, Jesus speaks to his disciples about one kind of suffering on a profound level. It has to do with the human ego, what we might call our self. We carefully construct our personas to present to the world. We grasp for acceptance, for love, for being heard and understood, for what Thomas Keating calls our emotional programs for happiness, our great need for power and control, affection and esteem, security and survival. Knowing our drive to keep our mask from slipping and get those needs met at all cost, Jesus responds with a brilliant paradox more than once. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross. And in order to be my disciple, you must give up your life. Deny yourself, give up your life. Paradoxically, if we want to save our life, ourself, our very soul, we must first lose it. And in so doing, we find that we save it. Father Richard Rohr talks about how we tend to view the lives that we have solely in terms of our life situation. We get all caught up in our emotional programs for happiness, instead of what he and Jesus might call real life, which he says is always a much deeper river hidden beneath the appearances. He states, we confuse our life situation with our actual life, which is an underlying flow beneath everyday events. Jesus instructs his students, his disciples, to be fully open to the disruption and dismantling of this surface way of thinking, behaving, and being, to discover that deep river that is always flowing. In this context, that is our cross, that we take full responsibility for our spiritual journey of change. Jesus does not leave us there unattended. He leaves us with a corresponding promise that we will be rebuilt. Rebuilt into our authentic selves, what is frequently referred to as our true selves, our core that God knows and loves inside and out, the person, not the persona, we are intended to be by God. We will be rebuilt with a knowingness that it is God's presence all along that is the source of all happiness. Another part of being rebuilt is a change in focus. Yes, we can all attest that life involves multiple levels and types of suffering. When we get in the boat with Jesus and consent to the spiritual journey of being his disciple, we are also agreeing to alleviate the suffering of others, just as he did throughout his earthly ministry. Our focus moves away from our own quest for comfort and self-fulfillment. Instead, we are invited to expend our energy and our talents for the good of others and for the common good as we encounter these opportunities in our daily lives. We all have the capacity to help someone in need. We don't need to be pain-free ourselves to do that. We don't need to possess money or power or special authority. We just need to have cultivated a compassionate heart and open hands. As our focus changes, oddly, we might find ourselves in the middle of Belize supporting a migrant community, or finding the courage to be with someone who is suffering more than what we think we are prepared for, or making 120 sandwiches, or standing inappropriately on a ladder, which happens in sometimes down at St. Luke's, to warm up this fabulous, fabulous soup in a giant pot designed to feed a whole bunch of hungry folks. As in all things, becoming a disciple is a lifelong process. The gospel invites us into a continual transformation of our whole life, dedicated to our becoming. Rowan Williams describes discipleship as a way of being. It is a constant state where we are aware and attentive to where God is acting in our lives and in the world. We learn to be expectant. He says, disciples are expectant in the sense that they take it for granted that there is always something about to break through from the teacher, something about to burst through the ordinary and uncover a new light on the landscape. Our way of being of disciples is the polar opposite of regimented, unhealthy, controlling, or stunting. It is vibrant, challenging, full of curiosity, life-giving, adventurous, spirit-filled, and therefore unpredictable. So let us sing a song of the saints of God, those crazy disciples, and affirm once again that I mean to be one too. Amen.